Welcome to the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin, your source for real estate investment jewels of wisdom.
Welcome to the REI Diamond Show. I'm your host, Dan Breslin, and this is episode 150 with Gary Gilgan on cryptocurrency and the potential shifts in the real estate industry. I appreciate Gary's patience with me on this episode. I must confess that I am not an easy host or an easy believer when it comes to the cryptocurrency bubble mindset of many of the investors in this space. Yes, I lost some money in the crypto bubble a few years back. And yes, I actually know people who did very well in those times and continue to do okay as it stands right now. Gary knew that this was the case. He knew my history. He knew my feelings on cryptocurrency. And he said, hey, let's do this show. And I'm going to make the case for crypto. And we'll kind of go back and forth with it. And there are some interesting, very interesting predictions, not just by Gary on today's show, but echoed by many Silicon Valley and other tech community leaders around the world that could potentially change the entire business for real estate investors, real estate agents, and even the retail real estate buyers who will live in the homes themselves. So it is time to tune in and get this one going. All right, Mr. Gary Gilgan, welcome to the REI Diamond Show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Dan. Thanks a lot for having me.
Cool. So I'm in Chicago. I'm looking out over the lake. It's frozen. It's like 20-something degrees out there. Whereabouts in the U.S. are you recording from to give people's frame of reference here?
I am in Boise, Idaho. It is probably mid to low 30s. I'm looking out my window and it's just great.
Yeah, maybe by the time this one goes live, we'll be starting to get the first little taste of spring there. But for the meantime, it is what it is. So, Gary, normally we have real estate surrounded topics, guests on the show. So this is a little bit of a unique direction that we're going in today, you and I. But for the listeners, would you mind giving kind of a short introduction about maybe kind of like what you did up until you got into what you're doing now, and then what your business looks like today, and then we can talk about the cryptocurrency and how that maybe would fit into real estate kind of after we have your introduction in the can. Sound good?
Sounds great. So I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. I stopped going to high school when I was 16 years old to be an auto mechanic, worked at my dad's shop. When I was 19, he and I opened a semi-truck alignment shop in Salt Lake City that we still own today. We actually just bought our second location, or we're actually in the process of doing so. In 2006, I started becoming very curious about how the game of money really works. Taxes, the treasury, how all this works. I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I read Robert Kiyosaki's Cash Flow Quadrant and Guide to Investing, and it really started to having me ask a lot of questions. And as I dove down this rabbit hole, I really discovered that our current monetary system, which is based entirely on debt, built into the mathematics of it was implosion. That throughout history, whenever a government just starts printing money out of control like ours does, eventually the money system implodes because the money is going to lose value. At that time, I started investing in gold and silver as a way to hedge against inflation. And I did that up until 2016. In 2010, I moved out to Boise, Idaho to pursue an opportunity in telemarketing, and I opened a telemarketing company in 2011 while I was still investing in precious metals. In 2010, when I first moved up here, my dad called me up and told me about this thing called Bitcoin. He's like, oh, we got to get in. We got to look into this thing called Bitcoin. And at the time, I was just way too busy with my new business and investing in precious metals. So I really just passed up on it. Then in 2015, I connected with an old high school friend of mine who told me they were mining Bitcoin in their apartment, and they were making $100,000 a month worth of Bitcoin every single month. And it really sparked my curiosity. But again, I was building my business, I was still investing in precious metals, so I just let it pass by. Then in 2016, I finally bought my first Bitcoin at $450, and I started investigating and researching how blockchain technology works, how Bitcoin really works, and as I gathered more information and did my due diligence, I discovered that this was the next big thing. This goes way beyond money, and the underlying blockchain technology is simply an evolution of the internet. The blockchain technology is the technology on top of which artificial intelligence, robotics, and automation is going to run on top of. And so I went full bore into it. In 2017, I actually cashed in my entire precious metals position and went all in on digital assets. I built a pretty nice portfolio. I turned a $50,000 investment into over $2 million in 2017. And in 2018, I launched my consulting company, Galactic Crypto Network. What we do is we help individuals and businesses invest in and adopt digital assets. Because right now we're still pretty early into this technology. So a lot of people by now have heard about digital assets, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple. There's still that technological barrier that holds people back from investing. So I simply mitigate that barrier for them. And I've been doing that since 2017.
So I have, my dad was also saying the same thing. Oh yeah, it's Bitcoin. And I read this white paper and I did this other thing. And I've been buying and selling houses since 2006 myself. So I'm like a real estate guy, not a precious metals guy. We did like 242 deals, I think, last year in 2019. So that was like a gross profit of more than $5 million that we did as a company. And we really like stay in our lane and stay focused and really work hard at developing that. So I kept my blinders on while my dad, who he's actually joining my company, probably when this goes live, this episode, my dad will be full-time working with Diamond Equity Investments now. It'll be a pretty cool turn and change of events. But 2-3 years ago, my dad's an HVAC mechanic. He's a blue-collar guy. Grew up on the tools myself. He was always on the tools, and so it was kind of unique to hear my dad start talking about this, you know, Bitcoin and digital assets. And I've heard the buzzwords around the different entrepreneur groups that I would network and hang out. And, of course, the real estate investment community, people would talk about, yeah, you got to buy Bitcoin, you got to buy into Bitcoin. And my dad did go all in on it, and he had some money with me in a few deals, small amounts of money, and I paid him back. And it was probably similar to the amount of, you know, capital that went in, I guess. Actually, I don't know what your capital position was when it went in. I think my dad put somewhere around $65,000 in. I don't remember the timing. And at his height, he was worth roughly $900,000, maybe over $1 million with his digital asset portfolio. He did cash out on a chunk. He cashed out on a chunk and put a nice sizable piece, to work back in our company as a passive investor. And he still has, more than he started with in Bitcoin and probably a few of the other assets. You know, he made some money, but he also saw that huge ballooning net worth come back down to earth there. And I kind of likened it to Tulip Mania a little bit. So are you familiar with Tulip Mania, Gary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The difference between Tulip Mania and blockchain or digital assets is digital assets is it's a technology, whereas tulips literally were a mania. So I hear that comparison a lot, but most people don't understand is that all new technologies and all new emerging assets or investment opportunities go through these massive up and down trends. So an example would be Amazon. If you would have invested $1,000 into Amazon in 1997 and just held, didn't do anything, just put in $1,000 and held till today, it'd be worth over $6.6 million. The problem is, in 2001, Amazon corrected 95% So most people aren't built emotionally and logically for investing. That's why they give their money to someone else. So most people, when it corrects, and even 50%, they're going to cash out. They're going to cash out, say it was a scam, say it was tulip mania, and they're going to be done. Most people don't have the foresight and the understanding to understand a new emerging technology or a new emerging asset class and get in it for the long term. So another example would be Microsoft. You would have invested $1,000 into Microsoft back in 1986, it'd be worth over $14 million today. So again, it's really just all about understanding what you're investing in rather than just kind of following the herd. Because right now the market sentiment has changed, where now a lot of people are very cynical because most people get buy high and sell low. So most people bought in at, you know, $15,000, $20,000, and then the market corrected down. Now we're over 80% corrected. So the market sentiment has now turned negative. But you have companies like Fidelity Digital Assets. Fidelity is the second or third largest asset under management investment company in the country. They just launched their own digital exchange last year. Lincoln Financial, BlackRock, all of these massive multi-trillion dollar investment firms are now getting involved and started to get involved as the market turned. So for me, I'm going to watch what those people are doing rather than my Uncle Larry or Bob on Facebook that's saying it's a scam or that it's tulip mania.
So your phone cut out. I'm going to, for the listeners, put some color behind tulip mania. Back, I think it was in the late 1700s or the late 1600s, the Dutch suddenly decided that tulip bulbs were the hottest commodity. And they would sell to each other and back and forth to the point where one tulip bulb would transfer for the house of like a nice Tudor house or maybe a Tudor mansion, depending on how high the mania got. And everybody was just caught up in the frenzy of, you know, watching these prices go up, until finally they decided they were no longer worth anything. And then they were worth the price of a tulip bulb, which was not anywhere near a house like it was at the beginning of that. And I would say, like, man, if your timing was impeccable and you were able to get in and get out at just the right moment during tulip mania, you were the guy that sold the tulip and received the Tudor style mansion in that transaction, and then you got out. So how important is timing and how repeatable is timing in the Amazon and the Microsoft examples that you provided?
Great question. Timing is valuable, but it's not timing the market, but time in the market. So tulip mania was actually a good example of value. Is there's no such thing as intrinsic value. Value is determined by the market. So tulip mania is a perfect example. And like you said, there was a lot of people that made a life-changing amount of money investing in tulips back in the 1700s. But we really only hear about the people that lost their shirt. So really, to answer the question, it's not about timing the market. It's about understanding where we are in the evolution of the technology. So there's three phases to every new technology. The first phase is the creation phase. The second phase is called mass information. And the third phase is called mass adoption. So we've already long passed the creation phase. The second phase, mass information, just ended on New Year's Eve, 2019, and now we're moving into mass adoption. So when I first got into crypto, we were going out of the creation phase and into mass information phase. 2017, CNBC, MSNBC, they weren't talking about digital assets, Bitcoin, crypto very much. But by the end of 2019, it's everywhere. Everybody's at least heard of it. So the masses have now been informed about the new technology. And we transition out of the second phase and into the third phase. Again, Fidelity, Lincoln, BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, they're all now adopting the technology. So in 2019, all of those companies are now launching their own digital asset exchanges and custodial services, meaning that we're moving into that third phase. So again, it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. Microsoft, you would have to hold your investment for 30 years to reap the incredible return on investment. So most people are trying to time the market rather than knowing where we are in the technology, where we are in a particular market cycle, because Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, they've corrected, 75% or greater since 2009. That's just part of the cycle, the upward cycle of an emerging asset class. So right now with the market being corrected upwards of still 90% on some of these fantastic, these are companies, these are technologies that are being adopted by massive institutions, okay? But with it corrected the way that it is, now's the time to get in, because these companies aren't going away. If they were going away, Fidelity would not be investing in them. They wouldn't be talking about them. They wouldn't be building websites and now going out and informing their clients about this new technology if they hadn't already invested millions of dollars into research and development into these technologies.
So I agree with you when you say timing and the tulips, and a lot of people made a lot of money, but where I think there's a piece missed in there a little bit is that you're saying that value is determined by the market, and there is no such thing as intrinsic value, but the intrinsic value of the tulip bulb was that you could plant it and it would be still a tulip bulb. And the intrinsic value of, the Microsoft Corporation is that there's still 1.23% dividend on there, and it's trading at a 31 PE ratio, and there's like still a giant value creation machine with a lot of people making a lot of money, providing a lot of earth-shattering technologies and softwares that we use. And if we look at Amazon to say, oh, there's no intrinsic value does not even impact the direction of what the share price of Amazon is. I'm sure you have a Prime membership, and so do a lot of the listeners, and there is some intrinsic value there that should be taken into account when we're analyzing an investment. And if it's not, if we're going to do it strictly on Tulip Mania, well, then it's all about timing, and we already kind of missed the boat for it to go from, 450 to even to 4,000. I mean, that's like the kind of returns that Amazon has seen in just the last, I think, 8 or 9 years, were the 450 to 4,500. So to see it go that much more, again, I think there's going to be some more manias. I guess like a better direction would be to say that crypto is almost similar to a stock market. So we have the New York Stock Exchange trading in stocks, which is a form of currency. I can buy an entire company mm-hmm. with shares of stock, same way I could buy an entire house with, U.S. dollars, same way I could buy an entire house with Bitcoin. So it becomes kind of this this currency and its exchange. However, that doesn't mean like anybody who invested in any stock blindly made the kind of returns like an Amazon or a Microsoft. You had to pick the unicorn. So what are the unicorns, and who are the visionary leaders of those unicorns? Of, I don't know, let's pick two or three Bitcoin examples, crypto examples that would be like unicorns right now that we know or think that with a long enough hold time, they're going to create enough value as companies where their digital assets will be, $1 million from a $1,000 investment or something crazy like that?
Sure. So, I mean, to give specific examples, I would say that there's a blockchain called Tron. There's another one called ADA or Cardano. And there's one called Stellar Lumen. So, in my point of view, in our portfolio, I mean, we have 20 different coins that we think are unicorns. Those three that I just gave examples of, those are part of that portfolio. So for me, again, it's not really about picking these unicorns, but it's about building a well-rounded, diversified portfolio where you've done your due diligence, because right now there's a lot of horses in this race. This is an entirely new asset class where, as you have in the traditional equities market, there are thousands of different stocks that you can buy in different companies. Well, now we're just seeing an evolution of investing where now I don't have to go to a broker to buy stock in Apple. I don't even have to go to a Scottrade and go through a broker, because Scottrade's still a broker. I can go directly to an exchange and buy peer-to-peer from people and exchange peer-to-peer. So I've cut the middleman out, which is a big, big part of digital assets, is cutting the middleman out of, whether it be finance, whether it be mortgage brokers, realtors. That's this new technology, blockchain technology. It's about cutting out the middleman, making things more transparent, making things faster, and making things more efficient for every industry.
So let's talk about Tron. Can you describe some of the due diligence that you did on Tron and why that was an exciting investment that you think would be a unicorn coin to own in a portfolio?
Sure. Yeah, Tron is a blockchain, and a blockchain on top of which decentralized applications or dApps are being created on. So you've got right now, you've got applications being built on Tron, just like a website is built on the HTML or the protocol that makes up the internet. So there's a protocol that all websites are built on top of using different languages like HTML, JavaScript, so on and so forth. Tron is one of those, founded by a guy named Justin Sun, very accredited, actually was mentored by the founder of Alibaba, Jack Ma. Right now, gosh, off the top of my head, I want to say it has at least a $100 billion market cap. So at its height, it was $6 billion. So my correction is, right now we're sitting at $1.5 billion market cap. And it's really all about, again, mass adoption. So you have all of these projects that are being built on top of Tron. Tron has also acquired a company called BitTorrent, which is the largest file sharing platform on the internet. So that's why we think it's a unicorn, is, man, it right now sitting at 1 cent, you know, in the next 2 to 5 years, when you have a platform, a decentralized platform like YouTube built on Tron, that will change the game. When a search engine like Google is built on a decentralized platform, it's a game changer. And that's where we're evolving out of, with data breaches and spying and all these types of things that people are becoming more aware of, and selling of your data. Decentralized applications, that is the way of the future, where you can actually monetize and own your data yourself rather than Google, Facebook, YouTube, not only owning that data, but restricting what the end user is seeing based on their preferences. So that's what Tron does. And that's why we think that Tron easily has 1,000x ROI potential in the next 2 to 5 years.
How do they actually make money from that? Is it like an advertising play later, like Facebook? I mean, where does the monetization come in for Tron?
Yeah, so we will actually be monetizing it. So if you watch a video, you'll be actually able to tip. So you will pay that content, the content creator, along with any marketing or advertising platform built on top of it.
Gotcha. So you had some ideas, I think, when we talked before, Gary, about how you thought it was going to, the blockchain technology, revolutionize the real estate industry. Is there any detail you could shed for listeners on how this might change the real estate transaction?
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite thing to talk about. So what I usually do is I take people through an example of what I see happening in the next 5 years, between 5 to 10 years, this is going to happen. So let's imagine that you have all of your information stored on a block, on a blockchain like Tron. Everything about you, your financial information, your medical information, every last detail about you is stored on this block that you own. Only you will have access to the block, the full block, because you are the only owner of what are called the private keys. But you can give permission to different aspects of the block. So when you go to the doctor, when you go to the dentist, when you go to anybody like that, you can give them access to a certain portion of the information. So no longer will any sort of medical record be stored at a doctor's office, dental office, optometrist, anything like that. Okay? Same thing goes for finance. Okay? If you want to buy a new house, for example, you will go on your phone to an app like Rocket Mortgage, one of the largest mortgage providers in the country. You'll give them access to your financial portion of your block. And within seconds, they will take that information and using artificial intelligence, they will give you a fully funded loan for, let's say, $500,000. Okay, now you'll go to another app like Zillow. You'll put in all the different information, what type of house you want, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, contemporary, any of that sort of information. It's going to pull up all the houses in the location that you desired that fit that criteria. Then you or you and your sweetheart go shopping for a house. You go to one of the houses, you walk up to the door, you scan the QR code on the door, you walk through the house, you like the house, you buy it there on the spot. So you've got a fully funded loan, you went and shopped for the house, and you bought the house in the same morning. You could do it in an hour of time. You could do it literally on the drive around town. So this is not a fanciful vision. This is already happening. Companies like Rocket Mortgage and Zillow, they're already doing research into this technology. Because the biggest liability for any company, especially in real estate, are employees. It's the humans dropping the ball. So if I owned a company like Rocket Mortgage or Fairway Mortgage in Boise, Idaho, and I could have artificial intelligence that would do all the underwriting, all the application, everything that a human does now in a fraction of the time without all the headache and all the ball dropping, of course I'm going to do that because my bottom line is going to explode. So these things are already happening. And the same goes for a car. You want to go buy a Honda. You go to the Honda dealership, you give them access to your finances, boom, you get fully funded, fully approved, you're ready to go. You go drive a Honda Accord, you like it, you can actually just design whatever you want on your phone, it gets delivered to your house. So this is the way sales is going, because people love to buy, but they hate to be sold. And Amazon is proving this. Online shopping is proving this. That people love to buy from the comfort of their own home, they actually don't like the human aspect because they don't like being suckered, and there's now a negative association to salespeople. Why should I give a realtor 6% of the sale price when in my opinion, real estate says it's not even sales, it's just order taking. So this is the future where we're going.
How many houses do you own, Gary?
I own 2 homes.
How many have mortgages on them?
1.
So I have gone through the mortgage process several times over the course of the last year, and it has been a very trying experience. And I keep way, way, way above average records of my rents, of my property taxes, my property tax bills, how much each insurance policy is for each house. I know a lot of people who are on our audience listening are like, yeah, I do all that stuff too, got files of that stuff. And I think back to when I did not, and I was a little bit more average when it came to my real estate ownership records. And I think that the challenge for me in believing that that's going to come down the pike in as soon as 5 years despite what Rich Barton over there at Zillow is intending and doing to the marketplace here as we speak with Zillow, the challenge becomes, you know, the average person or even the above average person would then have to construct this expertly placed data set here in the exact format that's readable by everybody else's, you know, data reader system to be able to show up and then just instantaneously remove the human element from that. It does seem a little far-fetched. It seems like flying cars in everybody's driveway that was announced that would absolutely take place by the 1990s during the 1950s. It feels just a touch like that because of the insurmountable challenge of things like the title insurance business. We still, even though internet technology has been around since early 90s, late 80s, the internet technology has been around. The internet boom, tulip mania for the internet took place in the late 90s. I remember people having $20,000 weekends and coming back to work on Monday in 1998, 99, and then in 2000, 2001, their gains were all given back and people had to wait for, you know, 30 years or so until Microsoft was worth money to be exciting again. So it seems like a very, very, you know, tall pronouncement when we have title agents, in spite of the internet, going down to the courthouse and weeding through public records, paper, microfiche to do title searches in this, like, very decentralized government help document database. And that's on every single deal that we buy. So, I mean, I think it's great. I think it would be like cool if we all had this key, but it also seems like a very, very tall order for someone to aggregate society, and would have to be with the help of mostly a majority of the human beings in the country are a little more disorganized than probably those that would be able to compile their data sets in a method that would be, you know, they get frustrated when they're going on for our websites to fill out, you know, simple forms, let alone this very complex data set. One other thing that's a problem for me with Bitcoin, I own this digital portfolio. I have no clue what any of it's worth. It's not a lot of money. I got in at the wrong time. I'm still in. I'm still waiting. And it's too confusing for me, Gary. And I have so many passwords and so many websites. And I think there's like a USB in my safe that has the private key. But like, if I don't have the ability to like save my password in this private key, is there any recourse for me to be able to extract my data back out of or have access to, you know, the real estate capsule kind of like information private key data set that you described, or am I kind of beat and I have to start all over as a human being? There's no way for me to like forgot password and like get my information back, right?
That's a great point that you bring up. And that's the beauty of working with me and my company is that since you got invested, I'm just based on your story getting in around the top, is this is a very fast moving technology and things are very, very simple compared to even 2 years ago. So for me, it's, you can have everything stored on your phone or like a USB that you keep in your safe, but setting things up and getting everything organized is very, very simple. But the point that you brought up is the most important part that I stress to people is that once you have a cryptocurrency portfolio, you become a Swiss bank. You are 100% responsible for your investment. And therefore, if you were to lose your private keys, yes, you lose. You're out because there's two sides to the coin. Blockchain technology is the most secure protocol known to man. In fact, your bank, they are hacked over a billion times a year, but you don't ever see it on the news because nobody would deposit their money in the bank. And you've got FDIC insuring people's money. But at the end of the day, it's all digits. Your bank doesn't have any physical cash if there were a bank run or something like that. So it's the same sort of technology, but blockchain is just much more secure. But again, that's the beauty of working with us. We're going to help you set all of this up and store those private keys. So should you even lose one set, you're going to have more than one set to back it up. But yeah, it's all about responsibility. If you're not responsible enough to properly store and manage passwords and private keys, then you're leaving yourself open to the effect of that.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, you know, I'm like a pretty sharp dude, you know, I like do things right. I don't drink, smoke. I like live a really good life, and I feel like I'm an organized person. And yet it kind of scares the crap out of me, Gary. I'm kind of like, man, I don't even know how the hell to access my Bitcoin that I have right now. It's just stored somewhere. But if I got to log into my, you know, to my E-Trade account and check on my stocks, and I have access to that, I can call someone up. So, like, I wonder how much that hesitation would prevent the all-out mass adoption that would be necessary for it to be, you know, fully integrated, which I guess we're 40 years into the internet, and we're finally starting to get some level of, like, my grandmom's got Facebook now. You know what I mean? There's some level of, like, mass adoption of the internet that we're probably have just reached in the last, like, 5 or 10 years. I don't know the numbers, so that's just my perception. But, you know, that would be something that's kind of like scary for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. And that's the beauty of blockchain technology is we get to actually take that 40 years of internet experience, and we get to apply it all to this new technology. So we don't have to start over from scratch. We get to use everything that we've learned over the last 40 years, and we get to improve upon it. So with the technology, like on your, if you have an iPhone, it has, you know, facial recognition, that will be the next form of the private key. Or, and I don't know what your demographic is on your podcast, but for me, like, I would have an RFID chip implanted today. That would be your private key, connected to your DNA, connected to your blood. I own the private keys. So it's not like the man or big brother has access to it. Only I have access to it. So all of these technologies, they're going to come. It's just like, oh my gosh, I remember back in 2000, 2001, my dad, oh, there's no way I would ever do online banking. I would never give that information. Now you either use it or you're left in the dust. So for me, it's not going to change my life. If someone gets in now or gets in later, I just know you're going to get in. Because this is a new technology. This isn't a fad. This isn't a fly-by-night. Again, I go back to what are the trillionaires doing, and I'm going to follow their lead. So, but to bring up your point about your E-Trade account, yeah, it's pretty simple for a hacker to find the password to your E-Trade account and then hack into that. It's way easier to hack into your E-Trade account than to hack into your Exodus wallet. Countless times easier.
Yeah, who are the trillionaires? I must have missed that piece.
Fidelity, Lincoln Financial, BlackRock. These are multi-trillion dollar investment companies that have already launched and are now starting to market to their clients digital assets. So if they're doing it, why wouldn't I do it? It's inevitable.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess it's just when it comes to like investing in Tron, we're talking about an advertising-driven medium, similar to Yahoo, which saw very high heights and then kind of petered off. And even Google, right? What are they trading at? $1,100, $1,200 a share. I don't know what it is, but their 1,000-time returns are like long, long gone. And that's Google. That's like the top. So you're still having to select the absolute unicorns, and somewhere in there, the intrinsic value is going to impact the value of the asset. That's what an asset is. It produces income. It produces some kind of value. And it would be that hesitation for me that still, I think it's no different than stocks. I think I have a lot of hesitation when it comes to any of this digital assets. I'm not, and I know the audience probably is thinking the same thing, or some of them maybe made money in Bitcoin like my dad and are not, but it's like, I don't know if it's any different than picking the right stocks or that's not even what you're trying to tell me. This is just like stocks again, but we have to pick the right ones. I guess I'm like way out of my depth when it comes to crypto.
So it's just like if you could go back to 1997, back, as the dot-com bubble was starting to blow up, is that it's not about trying to pick one or two unicorns. In fact, if someone comes to me and they've only got $1,000 to invest, I'm going to say, hey, this is high risk. This is high risk. There's no guarantee, but man, the chances of you even doubling your money in Apple or Microsoft in the next 2 to 5 years is pretty slim. Like the chances, we're already at the all-time highs in the entire equities market, or at least in FANG stocks. So the chance of you doubling your money, like I wouldn't invest $1,000 into stocks because at the end of the day, the returns really aren't there. So for me, it's not about picking one or two. It's about having a diverse portfolio where due diligence is done. Because if you would have gone back to 1997 and set up a portfolio with 20 different stocks, Apple being one of them, Amazon being another, yeah, 15 of them might have gone to garbage, but the other two made you a multimillionaire.
Depending on the timing. So, cool. Gary, if we had a couple books maybe that you could recommend or, somewhere people could what would be book recommendations for investors, maybe people starting out in the investor field of Bitcoin, or maybe just investor books in general that you think the audience would gain value from?
Absolutely. I would say the very first book would be The Creature of Jekyll Island. The second would be Rich Dad's Guide to Investing in Gold and Silver. And the third would be Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. I wouldn't suggest, there's really no good book specifically tailored to cryptocurrency. Because again, and this is really where I think you're really starting to get the vision, is digital assets, they're just the evolution of investing. A coin is the same as a share in a company. It's now I can buy it directly from, I don't have to go to a broker, I don't have to go to a third party to get it. You can buy OTC, you can buy peer-to-peer. So I don't have to go through a broker. So it's simply just the evolution of owning shares in a company or in a project. So it's really, for any investor, it's about understanding the fundamentals of investing. And when you understand the fundamentals of investing, and for me, more importantly, in my second book recommendation, Rich Dad's Guide to Investing in Gold and Silver, it's understanding the system that we currently live in. Because there's going to come a day in the very near future where the dollar is going to go to zero. And most Americans have a cognitive bias where they do not believe that that could happen. America's invincible. Well, it's going to happen. I remember when gasoline was 99 cents a gallon, and now it's $3. That's not the value of the gasoline going up three times. That's the value of your dollar losing three times its purchasing power. So people don't really understand that. Like when your utilities go up in price, that's the value of your dollar going down. So as inflation continues to eat up the purchasing power of the dollar, one day Joe Sixpack's going to wake up and going to say, man, I got to get out of these dollars because this thing's crashing. And traditionally, the masses have gone to precious metals. But now there's a brand new asset class. We live in a digital virtual world. And I believe that that's digital assets. And not only is it in America, the great thing about digital assets, it's international. It's the world. So anybody, anywhere in the world can invest in this market. So in fact, I know that America is actually not even really the head horse in this race. Asia is blowing America away with investors, regulation. So if America doesn't turn around and open its eyes and its mind, it's going to get left in the dust.
Do you remember what type of returns you ended up with when you were investing in gold and silver? Was that kind of like I'm totally out of the depth, but just curious whether that actually produced any returns for you or just kind of stayed the same or what?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I started investing in silver back around $10 and I cashed in some at $40. So, I mean, a 4X return. I mean, so 400% in less than 10 years, not bad, but compared to digital assets, I mean, nothing.
What about in the last 12 months? Have you seen, you have any example returns for digital assets?
Oh, yeah. Bitcoin has done over 100% return on investment in the last 12 months. I mean, again, there's over 2,000 different coins. So you've got a lot that have, I mean, geez, just in the past 2 weeks, there have been some coins in the top 20 cryptocurrencies that have done over 100% return on investment.
Yeah,
so again, it's a very fast-moving market. It's a very fast-moving market because the total market cap, the total liquidity in the market is so low. Right now, we're sitting at under $250 billion for the entire market. So that's why you have these wild up-and-down swings. But again, as we move into mass adoption, as Fidelity gets their team of sharks on the phone calling Bob and Susan Smith around the country and saying, hey, we need to diversify your IRA into digital assets. I mean, we're talking a multi-quadrillion dollar market. I mean, I believe that there are some cryptocurrencies that, I mean, they're going to, the company itself will be a quadrillion dollars. Because already, Bitcoin in just 10 years, its growth rate has far outpaced anything before it. So now we're talking about Murphy's Law. So all new technology builds on top of itself, and all investments, all new technologies, the swing, the exponential swing comes even faster and greater than those before it. So for me, like based on my research, this is evolution. We're watching evolution take place. So the money is cool. The money's cool because all of your listeners, everything they do, everything we do is to make money. We make money to get the freedom to do what we're passionate about. So the money's cool so that you can buy that freedom. But at the end of the day, your life, we wouldn't even be on the phone if it weren't for the internet, because this is a VoIP phone call. We wouldn't even be on this phone call. We wouldn't have even known about each other if it weren't for the internet. Well, blockchain technology, it's the technology that's revolutionary. The technology that's going to radically transform the world, and it's already happening. This isn't fly by night. This isn't pie in the sky. This is already happening.
Cool. So, Gary, if you could go back and share the crown jewel of wisdom with yourself when you were 18 years old, probably still as a car mechanic, what would that be?
Be patient. Be patient and listen to your intuition, because your intuition, it's when you have to talk yourself out of it. Even when all of the logical data makes sense, when the inner cynic and the inner critic comes popping up, that is typically wrong. So follow your gut. So my whole entire thesis is based on logic. Again, this is not a get rich quick scheme. This is a get rich long scheme, if you want to call it that. Again, it takes 30 years to turn $1,000 into $14 million with Microsoft. Most people don't have the patience. Most people don't have the foresight to make the investment and to hold on to it for a long period of time. But that's why most people also don't
have the luck either. I mean, there's a whole lot of stocks people are still waiting 30 years for them to come back, such as Ford, General Motors, countless list of other ones. But
right, because we've already passed their explosive growth phase. So that's why I would never advocate that someone buy stocks right now. Again, buy low, sell high, not buy high, sell low. So right now, cryptocurrency market is all-time lows. Now is the time to do your research, do your due diligence, make wise investments, and hold on for the long term. So it's not about waiting for it to come back. It's about understanding what you're investing in, just like a house. Like there's no way I would invest in housing in any way, shape, or form in this market. I'm waiting. I'm patient. I'm looking for undervalued assets. I'm investing in those. Looking for that explosive growth, then I'll cash out. And I believe within the next 5 years, you're going to see a massive crash in real estate, something that will make 07 through 09 look like child's play.
So listeners, I'm curious to know, what are the metrics that have you formulate that opinion?
Oh, my gosh. The average median household income in America has not even gone up by $10,000 in the past 20-plus years. So the average American can't afford to get into a new house. And then again, we're going back to inflation. You know, average house in America, it's going up in price, not going up in value. Because a 10-year-old house, it's not worth more today than it was 10 years ago. The wood is 10 years older. The nails are 10 years older. Again, it's the price of the dollar has gone down. So now it takes that many more dollars or pieces of paper to buy 10-year-old materials. Not only that, but the majority of money that come into America, especially on the West Coast into California, has all come in from Chinese investors. Well, that faucet's been pretty much turned off. So it's only a matter of time before that tidal wave runs across the West Coast. And I know that in New York, a lot of investment capital has come from Chinese investors. So again, the average American doesn't even have $1,000 in cash. So yeah, there might be some that are buying houses, but man, the faucet's going to turn off. Everything you see on CNN, CNBC, that's all propaganda to make you think that things are going well. But the average American is still suffering because the cost of everything around them is going up and their income is not going up to match that. It's go onto the national debt clock, can clearly see it. The average median household income has not gone up. So you and I, we don't fit into that because we're go-getters, we're ambitious, and so are your listeners. But the average American is still suffering. So I think it's only a matter of time before there's a massive, massive crash. Because man, I mean,
yeah,
go ahead.
I said I'm a contrarian to that. So I look at the foreclosure rate throughout the country, and there's a few micro markets where we're seeing some upticks in foreclosure rate. But generally, we are 30 to 40% of the historical foreclosure rate. It used to be around 4 or 4.5%. And now we're less than 2%, and it's been that way ever since it leveled out and bottomed off since the crash and since the regulation and the stringent underwriting of the humans who are doing the mortgages has come to the forefront, so that there's not the people who shouldn't be getting mortgages generally aren't getting the mortgages, and that's a countrywide statistic. We also have millennials who are buying houses, and we have a demographic wave of literally demand that's buying these houses. And we had a drop off in new construction permits that lasted like 4 or 5 years. We were at about 500,000 unit per year deficit, and that included the multifamily construction that took place during that same period of time. So we literally have no place to have an enormous supply, and it's the supply in the marketplace. Generally, the oversupply with the drop in demand that causes the market to crash like we saw in 2007 or 2008. That crash in 2008 was historically never been beaten in single family residential real estate, with the exception of the Great Depression. So it's kind of a perfect storm that we're heading into now without maybe without maybe like a large overbuilding, oversupply that we see take place, you know, coming down the pike here in the near future. I think 5 years out is probably, I'd say it's probably 20 years out. It's going to be till people my age who lived through that 2009 era, retire off and are no longer underwriting loans, with the exception of if they roll back all the mortgage qualification, you know, standards and regulations that were put in place to protect, borrowers from the unscrupulous lending that took place during the early 2000s. So I'd be kind of a contrarian to that.
Oh, I totally understand. At the end of the day,
yeah,
is that I believe that things can change really, really quick. And all it takes is one black swan event, just like in 07, all it takes is one black swan event to change everything. So most people that have that are totally invested in real estate, like yourself, it's going to be hard for you to change your perception and be like, oh my gosh, I see a crash coming. Whereas on my end is, hey, I don't know for certain, but I do know that things can happen very quickly. And it just takes one thing to change everything.
Yeah, true enough. And just as a note, I'm equally invested in the stock market as I am in real estate, as I am into my own business. But, Cool. So if Gary, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, check out your information online. Do you have a URL or any contact information you'd like to share with the listeners?
Absolutely. They can go to Galactic, G-A-L-A-C-T-I-C, trust.com or CryptoInvestorSecrets.com.
All right. I appreciate you closing the door, blocking out any distractions, and giving us this interesting perspective on the cryptocurrency market. Gary, thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you so much for having me on.
And thank you for tuning in to the REI Diamond Show. On next week's episode, I've invited Cleveland multifamily investor Augustino Pintus to discuss his growth from the dark decade of corporate job drifting, his words, to owning $42 million in multifamily complexes throughout Ohio. Plus, he's currently got a $110 million project under agreement that he is super excited to talk about. However, I won't disclose any more details at this time. You'll have to catch that one if you're interested in some more info about that. That said, if you are an accredited investor looking for double-digit returns, passively investing in real estate deals, I suggest you go to www.fundrehabdeals.com and sign up to review said high-yielding opportunities. If you are just looking to buy super cheap real estate the old-fashioned way in Atlanta, Chicago, or Philadelphia, the greater, you know, two-hour region around those cities, go to www.dealswithroi.com. That's return on investment for the uninitiated. Dealswithroi.com. We've reached the end, my friends. Until next time, Dan the Man, signing off.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the REI Diamonds Show with Dan Breslin. To receive email notifications of new weekly episodes, sign up at www.reidiamonds.com.